From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, June 14th. I'm Abby Larico. Opera Theater of St. Louis is dramatizing the 17th century conflict between Galileo and the Roman Catholic Church. The opera depicts the astronomer's relationship with one of his daughters.
She reminds him, you're going to be okay. There's a little bit of role reversal, where as the daughter, she's comforting him because she knows that he's being slandered.
We'll hear sounds from the opera by Philip Glass this morning on The Gateway. Access to abortion medication in Illinois remains unchanged after the United States Supreme Court rejected a challenge to approval of the abortion pill mifepristone. It's still outlawed in Missouri. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports the court said the group trying to reverse federal approval of the pill doesn't have the standing to bring the case.
Mifepristone is a drug that in the U.S. is commonly used in tandem with another pill, misoprostol, to induce abortions. The court's decision does not change anything in Missouri, where lawmakers outlawed almost all abortions in 2022 after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Patients who live in or travel to clinics in Illinois can still get abortions that use mifepristone. Abortion is legal there until the point of viability, which ranges from 24 to 28 weeks, approximately. Missouri and two other states joined the suit late last year. State Attorney General Andrew Bailey says he plans to continue the challenge to mifepristone's FDA approval in a Texas district court, where the suit originated. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
Construction to expand Interstate 70 to three lanes in each direction across Missouri is slated to begin in early July. Governor Mike Parson, along with other politicians and officials, gathered in Columbia yesterday to celebrate the beginning of the expansion project. The project is broken up into six segments. The first segment is a 20-mile stretch from Columbia to Kingdom City. Eric Kopinski is director of MoDOT's Improve I-70 program. He says while there has already been some work done on the project, things will begin to intensify after the July 4th weekend.
Very quickly, you'll start to see more of the bulldozers and other type of construction equipment that gets some of the public excited or nervous, but more importantly, we're ready to go.
The project is estimated to cost around $2.8 billion. Construction from start to finish is anticipated to last about 7 years. A Wentzville municipal judge who is running for Secretary of State is not a fan of requiring election officials to hand count ballots. Some contenders for the statewide office have advocated against using machines to count ballots, but Mike Carter says that while hand counting should be an option while recounting close elections, he rejects the idea that vote counting machines are somehow untrustworthy. He pointed to how machines have often been used to grade tests in K-12 and higher education institutions.
Now, I'm only half a century year old, but I have never heard a push of all of the erroneous grading that's happening at our public schools or our private institutions throughout the United States. Everybody seems to be pretty Scantron friendly.
Carter was a guest on Politically Speaking. Some St. Louis drivers with expired or temporary tags will soon be able to borrow money from the city to get new ones. The Board of Estimate and Apportionment approved a loan fund yesterday aimed at helping low-income city dwellers with their personal property taxes, tag fees, and car insurance premiums. In a statement announcing the program, Mayor Tashara Jones says this will help get people in line with the law while the city works to increase citations for expired plates. The program is described as a way to make city driving safer by getting more cars on the road insured and as a workaround to state-level inaction towards making it easier for people to comply with tax and tag rules. The city anticipates applications will go live this fall. The path forward for the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act continues to hit hurdles. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer explains.
The U.S. House committee did not pass an extension and expansion of the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act on Tuesday. It failed by a 9-4 vote along party lines. Representatives Cori Bush and Ann Wagner tried to add RECA last week as an amendment to the National Defense Authorization Act, which dictates defense spending. They did so because RECA funding expired last week. It gave money to people sick from World War II efforts to build a nuclear bomb. Missouri's congressional delegation had been looking for other ways to revive and expand the program to include local zip codes. The Senate passed a standalone RECA bill sponsored by Senator Josh Hawley. St. Louis area advocates are calling on House Speaker Mike Johnson to bring that bill to the floor for consideration. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
In the typically ornate, manicured plant beds around South St. Louis's Tower Grove Park, recently something's often missing, the plants. The park is experiencing what it calls an alarming amount of plant theft from its display beds this season. A Facebook post from the park account describes the efforts that go into these gardens each year. Thousands of flowers, annuals, and tropical plants, with nearly 200 stolen. That costs the park thousands of dollars. Patrons are asked to report anything suspicious to a park ranger, and if anyone is looking for a free plant, to consider volunteering. A familiar face for Blues fans is returning to the team, this time in the front office. The team announced that Alexander Steen is now in position to become the next general manager of the St. Louis Blues. He signed a 5-year contract, spending the first 2 years as a special assistant to current general manager Doug Armstrong, then set to become the GM after the 2025-2026 season. Armstrong will remain on as president of hockey operations through the end of the 2028-2029 season. Steen wore the blue note during 12 seasons on the ice, including for the team's iconic 2019 Stanley Cup win. That was 5 years ago this week, by the way. As good a reason as any to reprise this one on your playlist. Galileo's observations about the solar system made him the father of modern astronomy. They also clashed with the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church. And in 17th century Italy, spreading scientific facts could earn a death sentence. Opera Theater of St. Louis is presenting a work about Galileo by the American composer Philip Glass that opens Saturday. Performers Paul Groves and Vanessa Becerro reflect on some key moments in the opera and its continuing relevance. The performances you'll hear are from a 2023 recording by the Portland Opera.
My name is Paul Groves. I'm a tenor, and I'm singing Galileo, or the older Galileo, in Galileo Galilei by Philip Glass.
I'm Vanessa Becerra. I'm singing Maria Celeste, who is Galileo Galilei's daughter.
The piece actually goes in reverse order, and he's remembering his troubles and his trials with the Catholic Church about what he had discovered, which was actually true, that the earth is revolving around the sun. Well, it was heresy. The penalty for this heresy against the church was death. So he recanted everything.
But he knows and repudiate, despise and detest the fallacy and heresy of which I am justly accused. That the sun is the center of the world and does not move.
Maria, she was gifted, and he saw that. And I find it so important and really beautiful and tender that Galileo saw that she was so naturally gifted, and he loved fostering that. The whole basis of this opera has a lot to do with this relationship.
The third scene, he's imagining his daughter writing a letter to him, and she's singing in the background, in the back of the stage, and he's reading the letter.
In her letter, she reminds him, you're going to be okay. There's a little bit of role reversal where, as the daughter, she's comforting him because she knows that he's being slandered. This is actually my third Philip Glass opera. He has this amazing ability to get you into a trance, like sort of this hypnotic zone. At the very end of her final letter to her dad, instead of any more text, Philip Glass composes this vocalise for her, and it's just the word ah, and it's repeated. That's a very unique thing. It doesn't happen anywhere else in the opera.
We do have a lot of people that are doubting science and scientists these days. I mean, not even just the COVID thing we just went through, but even before that, we have people now believing that the Earth is only 6,000 years old, and we also have a lot of big faction of people that don't believe that we landed on the moon. I'm a big believer in science. I know a lot of scientists. They just want the truth, and I really believe that science brings us the truth.
And the Earth is not the center of the world. And moves.
Just as Galileo, he knew it was true.
That was Paul Groves and Vanessa Becerra. You also heard music from the Portland Opera with soloists Richard Troxell and Lindsay Osi. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin produced that story. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Our theme music is by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. Gloria is by Laura Branigan, and we'll play out with more from the Portland Opera. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway. Have a great weekend, and happy Father's Day to all the dads and father figures out there. Love you, Dad.